Blog Talk Radio. family.
Okay.
Sorry. Hold up. Okay. I don't know why this sounds like this. Give me a second.
Is that better? Okay. Sorry for that. My bad. A lot going on, too many microphones open at one time. All right. Welcome. Welcome to episode 101. Yes, 101 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina, a.k.a. Black Alice, and I'm very happy to be here with you this week. Hope everybody had a beautiful weekend. I hope that people are recovering from whatever disasters they've experienced. You know, this weather is definitely off the chain. We have to definitely be careful and definitely be prepared. You know, we are in the midst of hurricane season, and we know what Mother Nature can do, okay? So make sure you prepare yourself as best as possible. What else? Happy birthday to anyone and everyone having a birthday. Happy birthday to you. I know we're in the end of Libra season, so happy birthday. Continued happiness and joy and just greatness and love to all the Libras. What else? You know, blessings for healing and recovery for those who are suffering from physical ailments, injuries, cancer, heart conditions, brain problems, just love and healing to everyone within need of such an affirmation. I'm trying to change my vocabulary. You know, we talk about this all the time. I know that the word blessing is something that everyone is used to, including myself. But as I continue to look at the etymology of the English language, it's amazing to me. Words that we use for certain meanings that can have, of course, more than one meaning, as well as an opposite. Our vocabulary is amazing. Our English vocabulary is off the chain. So when we say the word blessing, we're also saying blessing. And I'm not wishing less than or anything like that unto myself or to anyone else. I think it's interesting that we have these types of words in our language. And I went into a lot of it last episode. Thank you again to everyone who was with me last week. But it's really interesting when you really get down to the basics, the foundation, alternative meaning, the esoteric meaning of just one word. So I'm going to continue to study that and bring to you what I can, but I'm trying to get out of using the word blessing. So just now when I was wishing healing and love and light to those in need, when you heard me pause or feel like hesitant, it's because the word blessing was coming to the edge of my mouth, and I did not want to really use that word. So I'm trying to really work on myself and be careful of what it is that I actually manifest in my world. Those of you who have been listening over the past few weeks know I've been talking very, very heavily on manifestation and energy and how we create our reality, and that there is no other like puppet master making you do something, none of that is really real. So if you're experiencing that, then you need to look into how you got into that situation, and then you need to contemplate as to why. Because every situation that we find ourselves in, whether we like it or we don't, is an expression of a lesson and a teaching. We are here to learn. We are here to experience and express. And along this journey, we're here to feel everything and can't understand and or encompass the concept of everything if you don't realize that within that everything is going to come positive and negative. If it's all just positive, which is wonderful, that's blissful, that's another dimension of reality, but in this third dimension, plus this fourth dimension that we use time within, that is what we are here to experience. So you can't know it all if you don't know suffering or struggle or pain. You don't. And that doesn't mean that those particular things, which some of us may deem to be negative because it was uncomfortable, we didn't like it, it doesn't mean that that's how things are supposed to go. It is how we constructed our own lesson to experience. So we'll really, really get it. And that's very difficult for a lot of us to believe. Very, very hard for a lot of us to really understand what I'm talking about right now. Because we are not taught that if we are a part of any quote-unquote religion, you ain't going to get that in there. Because what you get there is that you got to keep coming back there in order to receive your salvation. When your salvation is in your own mind, I would say your own hands, just for another euphemism, but ultimately it's in your mind. It's in your experience. It's in what you wish to create. It's in your thought process. It's how you look at things. Are you pessimistic or are you optimistic? Again, when you see a glass of water and it's filled into the middle, is it half full or is it half empty in your perspective? Because I'm coming from a perspective of abundance. So if I'm coming from a perspective of abundance, I'm always going to see that glass half full. I'm not going to say it's half empty. I'm going to say it's half full in terms of my reality, because I'm dealing with the laws of operation that correspond with abundance. And if those of us, many of us, how I wish and truly pray, but many of us, we're constructing and we're doing this all the time. All of us, actually, not many. All of us are doing this in our own lives in our own way. But goodness knows, if we had gotten a hold of the ancient Kemetic system, which is also an offspring of and related to the Orisha of Yoruba and other very serious faiths that are ancient, not 100 years old, not 600 years old, tens of thousands of years old. And it's not based on being a religion. It's a way of life, and it's a way for you to totally understand yourself as the universe in a physical expression. Now, if we were getting that when we were younger, and some are blessed to receive such information in their youth. But the majority of us weren't raised that way. The majority of us didn't have parents who would even begin to express what I'm expressing right now. So it's kind of difficult if you don't get it. So it's like, well, how are you supposed to get it? There's got to be something inside of you that wants it. There's got to be something inside of you that has a magnetism towards it, towards wanting to know the truth, towards wanting to and truly desiring to know things, to have knowledge, not to have opinion or even perspective, because, you know, your perspective is always going to be based on your perception. I talk about this all the time. So if you can't perceive it, then more than likely it's not really going to happen. If you can't even perceive it. And perceptibility is also based upon experience, exposure, and again, a wanting to learn, a wanting inside to know. Some of us are immediately packaged with this type of energy, and then some of us are not, and some of us are trying to get there. We're all in our own journey at the same time. You know, and yet I was saying to a loved one the other day, you know, we're all connected to each other from a metaphysical standpoint through the process of and theory of entanglement. We're all connected anyway. So if we can really get that into our consciousness and let it marinate, if you will, to understand that even the troubles that we see, even the individuals who would be deemed quote-unquote criminals and what have you, there's still a soul that's trying to find its way. And oftentimes, within deviant behavior, there is a longing or a deep wanting for love, acceptance, and affection that may not have been met in their youth. And so this absence of that then turns itself into this other controlling type of factor where they go over the top in terms of abuse or committing a crime, you know, God forbid, even all the way to murder. But these are things that happen when stuff goes unchecked. And again, I always say not every mother, quote unquote, or father is a parent. Parenting is definitely a very special skill, and those who are gifted with it, hurrah to you. But it's not easy, and, you know, people say there's no book for it. There's tons of books for it. Just whether or not you're ignorant ass gonna read the book. Sorry. I'm just saying, like, so many times when I hear excuses for stuff, we're in 2022. There is information upon information just spilling forth. Whether you do go to a library, a bookstore, you go online on your computer, whatever, everything is at your freaking fingertips. So you should be able to find remedy. You should be able to find answers. You should be able to find certain things if you're really looking for them because the answers exist. So this is interesting to me when I do hear people who are just so confounded and just don't have a clue or an idea as to how to get out of a situation. When my motto is if you got into it, then you can damn sure get out of it. And, you know, this is when stillness comes in. This is when peace and meditation and mantras and manifestations. You know, if you are able to concentrate and focus on a specific desire or thing, you know, with righteous intent, you know, I'm not talking about throwing bones and casting stones and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about being still and knowing when something is yours, knowing that it's yours because you know it's yours, period, whether it's an experience or an actual tangible thing. We do this all the time. It's an ebb and flow of energy, just like our breath. You know, the universe breathes too, in and out, symbiotic versions of it. We're very, very special. We're a special entity throughout many, 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 many galaxies. We're very, very special because we not only have an astral self, we not only have a soul that cannot be destroyed. We have those things, but we're also made of physical components and minerals and what have you from this planet, from Earth. And so that makes us different from other quote-unquote entities from other star systems and other galaxies because many of them are of a higher dimension anyway, so their envelope isn't as dense as ours. We're very dense, and we're dense for a reason. But it's also because we're three-dimensional and we're in this dimension of reality, and so this density holds us to the planet. Now, you have other entities that float. They don't necessarily walk. They're not necessarily obeisant to gravity. And this is true. So when it comes to being human, you know, we're very unique and dynamic, and that's also one of the main reasons why people do get abducted as often as they can, and they talk about scientific experiments being done on them and different things like that. It's because of how different and special we really are. And so these other entities, majority of whom are benevolent, are, you know, looking for scientific medical data and information as to how it is that we exist as a corporeal entity, how it is that we're made of flesh and we have a soul. We're not one or the other. We're both. And so hopefully this is also ringing a bit inside of yourself, if you're listening to me, that you're very special and very, very dynamic, and you are worthy of a wonderful life if you believe that you are. Honey, if you don't believe you're worth anything, then check it out. You might not get much. Greetings to everyone who's joining. Peace, love, and light to everyone. Thank you for joining the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I'm talking about manifestations and energy and all kind of fun things. But ultimately, seriously, family, the way we look at ourselves is also going to have a reflection on what we see in the world. If we look at ourselves and we feel that we are ugly or we are defiled or we are, you know, unworthy, we are just, you know, unattractive or whatever, then, baby, that's what you're going to be. Because I know y'all have been in the company of individuals, some of you may be this individual yourself, who are not very physically attractive, but they got the most dynamic and fantastic energy. It didn't make a difference how unattractive they were on a physical level. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because that person believed, I may not look that good, but I'm the bomb. I got this, and it's going for me. I know who I am. I know what I'm rocking with. Okay, so I wasn't giving a pretty face. All right, whatever. I'm going to work with this, and this. I'm going to be clever. I'm going to be fly. I'm going to be witty. I'm going to be stylish. I'm going to be whatever those things are. You know who I'm talking about. There's different people, even people we deem to be, quote-unquote, stars or celebrities. That ain't that cute. But they have an energy around about themselves that makes them attractive, that makes them a positive person to want to be around. They just give off an energy that you just want to listen to or be around. You know, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Just as on the other hand, we know people who are physically attractive and ugly as hell inside. And I'm talking to grown folk because, you know, we've been around for a while. So we know. So ultimately, it is still all about energy. And whatever it is that you have rolling around in your mind and your psyche, however it is that you look at yourself, however it is that you see your world or your mate or your children or your dog or whatever, however you see any of these things is what you're going to receive. It's going to actually, like, radiate. It's going to just become another reflection of itself for you now to see, because that's how you really see it. So, pow, right back at you. This is what you got. And that is changeable. You can change that. I know a lot of folk, they don't believe they can change it. They don't believe that they have the power to. So they won't. And sometimes it's a matter of life or death. But even within that, as I said previously, you'll be back. They'll be back. We come back to this dimension so we can continue to learn until we really do know it all. And even when you know it all, especially my elders that might be listening, you know a whole lot, and you've been through many things, positive and negative, and you've seen things and you've recognized your own growth through the processes. when you get to those stages of wisdom, you feel good. And you do know that it is not necessary for you to repeat negative mistakes. It is not necessary for you to engage in blase skippy. It is not, it is no longer necessary for you to deal with certain types of people, blah, 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 blah. And as you come to those conclusions and you mature, and again, wisdom is being given to you through your own lessons, you do feel good. You feel happy. You feel good. You feel very happy. And so that process of your evolution is important, because when you do leave your body again and then you do come back, even if you have just a few more things to do as a soul, your incarnation is generally better, the life you're born into. But then there are those of us who like challenges. And so we'll say, okay, yeah, I'm going to take that experience. I'm going to, I want to manifest in a reality of poverty. I want to feel what that feels like. Yeah, I know I've had wealth in my other lifetimes, you know, because when you are in the astral realm as a soul, you can remember it all your lifetimes and what you need to do, blah, 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 blah. And this is why you sign up for these assignments, so that you can get such and such out the way. You can get this course complete it, and prayerfully you do well and pass the tests within the course. That is what we're doing here. There are many, many different systems that continue to call Earth a school, where souls come to learn. So I keep reiterating that we're very special, because we live in a mortal reality, in a physical three-dimensional body, but housed within that body is an eternal soul. An eternal soul that has incarnated into flesh in order to learn and experience life. The goal is to evolve, become enlightened, so that with each incarnation we experience, we get greater and greater in our capacity for knowledge, until we do not have to come into a body anymore. That is what we're doing here, folks. That's what's going on down yonder. That is what's popping here. Regardless of whatever you see, whatever your neighborhood is, whatever war is going on, whatever poverty you see, whatever, all the stuff you see going on everywhere is all meant to, as it has been, manifested by individuals in that specific area. And Earth is big, but it's not that big. And we have a collective consciousness of this globe. And that's why a lot of us within, you know, this type of work talk about maintaining positive energy, because there's enough stuff going on, as you heard in past episodes, where the wicked and the negative entities are working overtime. They ain't getting no sleep and they're taking no vacations, honey. So maintaining a positive outlook and being loving and engaging in things that are positive and uplifting and, you know, that bring knowledge to you and make you a better person, you know, make you a better individual, honestly. Those things, and spending time and doing those types of things, that lends itself more to why we're here. Most people out here these days are just recreative. They may go to work, but then after that, they go play. Are they taking time out to deal with spirit and emotional experiences and baggage? And maybe even, you know, a little retroactive karma and karma from past lives and possibly even generational energy. Are they taking time out to do that work? Or are they just constantly enjoying themselves, being recreative, and not taking time out, like I said, to meditate and to go within? And a lot of people ain't doing that. I'm not trying to sound, you know, fresh or anything, but a lot of people don't even take time to do that. Real talk. 1 second, fam. So, like, and then there are also, and I know you're like, why is she stuttering? I have so much happening through my brain right now. But there are individuals who continuously seek to capitalize off of your very existence. And this, too, is not easy for you all to understand. There's so much going on in the world and in this country. It makes your head spin, makes you nervous, makes you nauseous, and makes you want to vomit. Real talk. I'm not playing games. But my grandfather always taught us to understand and know what our enemies were doing at all times, do the best of our ability, not to be nervous wrecks about it, but just to realize that there is an enemy. It does exist. It is not a fantasy type of situation. It's real. And the only way and the best ways for us to address it on an everyday basis is to be loving, kind, and good people. And that may sound really corny, but in terms of an energy wavelength, when we are giving love and we are being kind and we are being helpful and we're sharing and we're taking time out to even speak to loved ones from afar and, you know, what have you, that puts really good energy into the universe. And we need that kind of energy, especially here on Earth, because there's some maniacal folk on this planet. Y'all know who I'm talking about. So if we have this other energy that we have to contend with, it's not that I'm trying to go to war with anybody. What I am attempting to do is to be armed so that I can fight on a spiritual level to combat the wickedness and the evil before it even manifests into something that is physical or tangible in my reality or in the reality of those close to me. Because it's on that level first. So I'm not trying to wait for it to show up and then I have to physically combat it. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm going to put out as much positive energy as I can within my day, whether I'm loving to other people, whether I look out the window and say hi to the trees and wish love to Mother Sky, whatever I wish to do and give love and light to, whether I'm in the supermarket and I smile at a stranger and tell them to have a good day, whatever, as long as my intent is genuine and kind, I'm giving that positive energy off. I'm going to share that. And I'm glad, excuse me, there I go, like I said. I'm grateful and I give thanks because I know that I came from a family of good energy, positive energy. Now, when we get older, we go our separate ways and sometimes we behave in ways that we shouldn't. But ultimately, I do understand that the primordial vibration between my parents was love. They were very, very loving to each other, physically, emotionally in their conversation, letters, cards. My parents were lovey-dovey like you would never believe. But I saw that love achieve things. I saw that love like breakthrough boundaries, achieve and do things that you could ask someone else, oh, could you do such and such? And they, oh, no, that's not possible. My parents were able to really succeed and achieve and, like I said, break barriers. And so when I see that, it gives me energy. It propels me to not only follow in those footsteps, but also to encourage other people that when you have love, you can do anything. Sanity is based upon love. There's so many things that are connected to that high vibration that if you didn't get it, if it was absent, you could be a different type of human. So this is why I go so hard on it. I go hard on love because I know how powerful it is. It's powerful. Yes, it's beautiful, and it's just unique, and it's special, and yes, all those things, but it's powerful. Love is powerful, and we need power right now. We need power. You know, people, everybody wants screaming for money, screaming for this. Okay, that's fine. But at the same time, if you're not mastering yourself, that money will get blown. That money won't even be used properly. You know, wisdom is important. And it doesn't just happen. Knowledge comes before wisdom. And I hope people can grasp that. Knowledge comes before wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge applied a bit later when you figured some stuff out and you maneuvered in a certain way when you're like, okay, this is what's working. This is it right here. Wisdom. And it seems like a lot of this stuff is just going out the window these days to me. Welcome, welcome to everyone who's joining tonight. Thank you so much for being with me. I really appreciate you. I hope you had a wonderful day. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of the show. I am Queen Amina. You're listening to the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. Yeah, live and direct. But thank you for being with me tonight. You know, it's just interesting things are happening. And so when I look at behavior, when I look at situations that different people are going through, whether they're friends, whether they're family, whether they're a client, you know, whomever they may be, it's just really, it's interesting when they're not seeing certain things that are right in front of them. That could also be a little spooky for somebody like me. But a lot of times the writing is on the wall and people just don't want to pick their head up and look at it. They don't want to see it. A lot of times folks know what they have to do and they just, I don't want to do that. When that's the very thing that needed to happen and they didn't do it. So again, this experience is interesting, okay? I'm going to come back to more on that a little bit later. Next up, this is interesting. You know, from time to time, Mother will talk about reciprocity. Some of you are like, what's that? Reciprocity is the law that those of us who have a concealed carry weapon license are waiting to be passed. We're waiting for this bill to be passed, meaning that we can then carry from state to state or through state or however in this country. So the Supreme Court made a decision not too long ago, which has a lot of other states, you know, with their panties in a bunch because they do not want the residents of their state to be able to become concealed carry weapon license holders, therefore being able to carry a concealed weapon wherever in that state. They don't want that. Now, two of the states that are dealing with this are New York and New Jersey, and it was deep because I know New York, some stuff is still happening, but whew, New Jersey received the shortest end of the stick, honey. I'm like, dang, you know, they are like, okay, yeah, you can obtain a CCW. Your first blockage is $500. It's $500 to get a CCW in New Jersey. I hope you heard that, $500. It doesn't cost that in other states, okay? Some places it doesn't cost anything. Or maybe just your filing fee for you to get your paperwork and to get your badge. Like, It is not $500. So that's number one. Number two, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Damn it, you can't go nowhere with it. What's the point in having it? You can't go to the movie theater, the mall, supermarket. You can't go anywhere with the daggone thing. So, again, what's the point? So, in other words, with them, you might as well not even try to have it. Unless you do have it and then it's honored by a neighboring state like Pennsylvania. And maybe that's what they're hoping folks will do in New Jersey. But ultimately speaking, the whole CCW ruling by the Supreme Court of the United States just got thwarted, botched, and thrown into pieces. I was like, wow. And I guess there are all types of little legal loopholes and stuff that enabled them to be able to get around it to say, okay, well, you can have one, but it's going to cost this much money, this amount of money, and you can't go anywhere with it. So what's the point in having it? Because the only place you'll be able to carry it is in your living room. And I'm like, maybe, I don't even know if you can have it in your car. Very strange. But this is America. Okay? Now, back to Herschel Walker. I'm not going to stay long on Herschel. I just want to make a correction from last week because I was talking too fast, and that happens sometimes. And I mentioned that he was running for Senate in Texas. It's actually Georgia. So forgive me. I'm sorry. Or I apologize, I should say. But I just think it's wild how the Republicans have just put all their money on him because they do not want to lose their seat in Georgia. I don't know if somebody was retiring or something, they're not running again, but that seat is going to be up, and so they want it to be a Republican in it because, you know, they're trying to hold on to everything. And at the rate that we're going, I'm hoping that they will not. I'm hoping that they will lose, sorry. But flipped by the Supreme Court again, and these other justices like Clarence Thomas and Comey Brown and these other people, I'm just like, they're trying to take us back to, like, you know, 1819. And I, for one, am really not interested in going back there. So it's frightening to me when you hear what these people are running on, and even the comments that they make at their little rallies, where I swear for guys, like, they can't remember that cell phones with cameras and recording exists. And they just say all kind of ridiculous things. I think that's interesting. So, again, we're going to see what happens. It's coming up soon. This is one of those elections where I do think it's very necessary for us to vote. There are a lot of things on the line, and you've got several individuals in other states as well that attended the January 6th rally and were wild and crazy as bedbugs, but yet and still they've been nominated in their areas, and that's frightening to me. So I think that this is an election, you know, with us voting in. We got to participate, and we got to show up and show out in this one because these people are crazy. Have you seen the new Dr. Oz commercials with the puppies and he's killing all the puppies? Lord have mercy. I was like, okay. Even if you are doing research, like, you know, there's other animals you can do before you get to puppy. When you think about it. Usually, the you know, mice and lab rats are more common, even a guinea pig, but you went all the way to puppy. You went straight to puppy, like, for what? In any event, here's another one. Shouldn't be allowed to even come near any type of governmental office at all, especially for a position, but I'm even talking about a visit. I don't know. Some of these people are really way off, and this whole Herschel Walker situation is a clear example of the hypocrisy of the Republican Party, meaning that they're not that pro-black, even though they let us in, but I'm just saying, they're not that pro-black. And he's not a highly intelligent individual. You should be able to ascertain this when you listen to him speak. There's no connection to intellect when you hear him speak. I'm just going to say that. Then you can add on that he's been caught in these lies. And again, the Republican Party doesn't give a ding, ding, golly, wally about a lie. You could lie till the cats come home. They will continue to just have your back. I don't know what the line is that an individual has to cross for the Republican Party. I know in the Democratic Party they don't like lying, especially if you get caught. But with Republicans, you can lie all day, get caught all night, and they're still their dude. That's frightening in a whole nother way. So, yeah, this whole Herschel Walker thing is fierce for me. And also the trash talk from campaign against campaign against campaign against campaign, it's a bit annoying, and it's sad, because if you are an idiot and you don't know who to vote for and you just listen to television commercials, you might not leave the house or fill out the ballot if you're in the house. You might not even participate. And I believe that they deliberately make it confusing. They deliberately, just lie and pour story after story that may not even be real in any way, shape, form, or fashion, you know, into these commercials. It's very annoying. Because as a people, we don't really have time for that. Our prices fluctuating and things happening that normally wouldn't happen. We're seeing things close. We're seeing whole chains shut down. We're seeing very interesting things in economics. We've seen very, very interesting things over the past couple of years, for sure. So there's no need for us to not want to look at the truth about certain things. No, we want to know. We should want to know. Because in many steps of the way, we're not being told the truth. And we just get spin all day through mainstream media. Spin, 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 spin. Someone comes out and says a truth. It's like, oh, you know, everybody goes crazy because some individuals have no idea about the information, number one. And number two, the others are just mortified and flabbergasted because we're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to say that. And I'm like, well, why is it okay to just be a complete idiot in the political process when it comes to running different states and running the nation, whether you have a Senate position, whether you're a governor, whether you're running for president? You can lie all day back and forth about each other, but in the other part of our reality in the world, you can't say stuff. And when did this become Russia? Real talk. When did this become China? I know we got a lot of stuff here from China. La, la, la. I'm not talking about in terms of commerce. I'm talking about in terms of ideology. When did that happen? So this is going to take me to my next little section, because a certain individual has had his behind in some hot water many a time throughout our modern history, especially within the past 20 years, we'll just say. We'll give it that time frame. But it's interesting because rapper/mogul Kanye West, a.k.a. Ye, is back in hot water. This time, and I don't keep up with every single rant that he expresses. I don't have that kind of time in my life, but what I find interesting about this particular situation is that he's hit the beast. He's hit the special group of individuals who run things and do not like to be discussed, do not like to be exposed, do not like to be blamed for anything, heaven forbid. They, you know, they want to damn near be untouchable. But yet and still, what he said was not untrue. And hopefully this won't get me in a bunch of hot water, but I'm just saying this to say, I think the reason why they had such a fit about it is because he has over 31 million followers. And y'all know social media, people really do follow people. They listen and they follow. So I believe he had an interview on Tucker Carlson on Fox, and the things that he said, the machine did not like. And so we're going to go into that right about now. Yeah. And then they're saying later on, you know, he's launched violence against the Jewish community. So just wait for it. Here we go. And I got this from, give me a second. Let me go back to where I got it from so I can be way more specific so you're not like, where is she getting this from? In any event, I do find it to be interesting because this is not new necessarily. I remember when Whoopi Goldberg had said a statement, you know, and they didn't like that, and ABC suspended her for like 2 weeks. I think it was a comment about the Holocaust, and they didn't like that. Like I said, you know, got to be more careful. Let me see something real quick. Okay. I got this particular article from the AJC Global Force. I don't know. Now I need to go and Google what does AJC mean. I don't know if it means American Jewish something, but it's AJC. Give me a second. Let me see. Let's take a ride. What is AJC? Right? Okay. I'm good. American Jewish Committee. So the American Jew, and this, the reason why I chose this particular article to bring to your attention was because A, I knew it was a Jewish resource, but, you know, news outlet, but I want you to see how they spin it back, because this is what they do. So, okay, here we go. While anti-Semitism comes from a variety of sources, including white supremacists, black supremacists, and religious extremists, okay, let's start that over. I'm sorry, family. While anti-Semitism comes from a variety of sources, including white supremacists, black supremacists, and religious extremists, the rapper's anti-Semitic slurs seem to run the gamut. Now, what also got me when I first read this was black supremacists. That was interesting. I don't look at it as being a black supremacist when I'm just trying to maintain my own reality as a human being when for a few hundred years in this country, people with our complexion were not even looked at as human. And white supremacy, on the other hand, has done damage sometimes beyond repair when it comes to their particular beliefs and tenets. I don't see us burning crosses on people's lawns and carrying on. And we're not racist and can't be because we don't control the economy. We don't control the school board. We don't control the police review. We don't. I saw a black supremacist in this. I said, oh, this is about to be fun. In any event, with a social media following of more than 31 million, his statements have become more acute, more delusional, and more dangerous. West has acknowledged he suffers from bipolar disorder, but mental illness is no excuse for anti-Semitism. Really, y'all say mental illness is an excuse for anything. Murder, rape, mass murder, mass shooting, and now all of a sudden, boo-boo done told you he's bipolar, but we can't let that be anything. Right? That there's no excuse. Mental illness is no excuse for anti-Semitism. Again, I can't help but chuckle a little bit. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Anyway, although some have tried, there's no rationale, no explaining away Kanye West's rants on social media for anything else than what they are. Vicious anti-Semitic statements that pose a clear and present danger to every Jewish person, says AJC CEO Ted Deutsch. Now, I have not yet seen Kanye West call for violence, physical or any other thing, against Jewish people. I know what he said about, I'm about to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people, but that also means what he's going to do verbally. And just because he has 31 million followers doesn't mean those 31 million people are going to go out and commit crimes against Jewish people. I bet you some of those 31 million people are Jews. Hello? Anyway, here are five of Kanye West's most recent statements and how they tie to common anti-Semitic tropes and conspiracies. Now, mind you, again, this is taken from the American Jewish Council magazine, all right? This is an article in there, all right? So I'm pulling. But they have direct quotes, and so I'm about to give you one. Number one, quote, I prefer my kids' new Hanukkah from Kwanzaa. At least it will come with some financial engineering. I found that to be interesting. I don't know how that's necessarily anti-Semitic. I'm not going to talk about Hanukkah right now, but you do. Most of us are aware of who controls the financial industry, who owns the banks. Hello? Rockefeller, Rothschild, J.P. Morgan, these are not Catholic people. These aren't Christian people. These are Jewish families. So, okay, moving forward. During his interview with Fox News host Tucker Carlson, Kanye West said he would prefer that his children learn about Hanukkah instead of Kwanzaa because at least the Jewish holiday would teach them about financial engineering. Producers cut that statement from the two-part, two-hour conversation that aired on Fox News October 6th and 7th. The theme of greed is common in anti-Semitic rhetoric and fuels Jewish stereotypes such as being excessively materialistic and money-oriented, exploiting others for personal gain, being overly wealthy, and controlling the world's finances. Where is any of that untrue? And this is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to, be really nasty or anything like that, but I find it interesting because this particular group likes to also scream piety, and we know the wealth that they possess, especially the wealth that they're able to keep within their community because they're so tight. So that was interesting. And so he says, quote, I just think that's what they're about. It's making money. So West said this in an apparent reference to Jared Kushner and his Jewish family. Again, the Kushner family is worth billions of dollars. The father is in prison, and they're still worth billions of dollars. Hello? Unlike West's Hanukkah remarks, Fox News did not edit out West's accusation that Jared Kushner, who is Jewish, negotiated the Abraham Accords simply to make money. Again, this statement is part of an anti-Semitic theme of greed as explained above. Really? Anyway. Then he says, when I say Jew, I mean the 12 lost tribes of Judah, the blood of Christ, who the people known as the race black really are. This is who our people are. End quote. Get deep. Because this kind of ticked me off a little bit, but I'm still cool because I understand it. West perpetuated the myth that Planned Parenthood was part of a conspiracy to limit the growth of the black population by preventing the birth of black children. But instead of saying the black population, he called it the Jew population. This echoed a longstanding anti-Semitic trope common among black supremacists that claims that white Jews are not the real Jews. Instead, these black supremacists allege without evidence that Jews are imposters who have stolen the identity and birthright of black people as the true chosen people of God, according to this conspiracy theory. The descendants of the 12 Hebrew tribes of Israel settled across Africa after the destruction of the Kingdom of Israel and eventually were sold into slavery. What is untrue about this is the hard part I have. And we very well know that Planned Parenthood, which was headed by Margaret Sanger, who is Hillary Clinton's idol, by the way, don't forget that, Margaret Sanger used to go around from town to town and speak on a soapbox about getting rid of not just black, but yes, Jewish babies. Like, all in this particular paragraph, it's as if the Jew is now wanting to separate himself from black people. This is the hilarious part. Because the original Jew is black, and we weren't called Jews necessarily. It's interesting when you get the word Jews and Jewish, because Jew is also the beginning of the word jeweler, because the Moors made these individuals jewelers and bankers during their entire reign, 700 years. And you don't have an original white-skinned Jewish person at all, at all, at all, at all. When you read the Bible, you are reading predominantly about brown and dark-skinned people. Nonetheless, the white Jew that you see today with Shirley Temple curls, dressed in all black and all of that, copying, literally copying the ancient priests of Kemet with how they dress, why they wear what they wear, and what is, and the left turn that they made to make their own little thing with the Torah and all the other stories and what have you. These are not the original Jew. These are not the original Judaic individual. I don't mean J-E-W, I mean J-U-D, from, as he said, the 12 tribes of Judah, which are Africa, okay? Where are lions on the planet? You tell me where there are lions on this planet. Yes, Amina, lions are in Africa, indeed. That is why we have the Lion of Judah. You do not have lions in Italy, Turkey, Spain, France, Germany. You don't have lions there. So the 12 tribes of Israel are represented by that flag with the Lion of Judah in the middle of it with the crown on its head. Nonetheless, That's in plain sight. About the Ashkenazi Jew. which is the white Jew that you see, whether they be in culminations in Williamsburg or in East New York or in wherever they are. This culmination of the white Jew or of the Ashkenazi Jew or of the white individual, there was a man who came over from Northern Europe. Not even Northern Europe. Where did he come from? Give me a minute. He came from the north, like I think over by, not Turkey, but whatever's northern next to Turkey. In any event, when he came into what we would call Israel and the Palestinian area and learned the teachings of Judaism, he then took it back to his people, who were white-skinned people. And that is the birth and the beginning of the Ashkenazi Jew. As time goes by, this individual, along with the help of other nation states, including America, begins to lay claim to that part of Palestine that they want to call Israel, which is Isis, Ra, and El, all at once. And that's why when you go to Israel, you have two major monuments standing side by side, which represent modern day religion. Three, really. You got the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock, which is Abraham, and which is Islamic. Then you have the Temple of Solomon, to the side of that. Very interesting place to be. I have been there. Very energetic place to be. You have the Wailing Wall is there. And it's very interesting because at the Wailing Wall are a whole bunch of white-looking Jewish people dressed in ancient Kemetic attire, bobbing their heads and praying and putting notes into the wall. Then maybe you may have a few brown-skinned people who are also praying, but not in the same way. And when you look at a Sephardic or a Hasidic man's attire, and you see those linen strings hanging out from under their shirt, they are representing the Kemetic deity of Khonshu. Khonshu is a consort to Jehudi, because from Jehudi is where you get Judaism. Jehudi gives you Judaism. And those teachings and what have you all come from the teachings of Jehudi. Some call Tehuti. The Greeks called him Thoth or Toth. Same individual. So it is Khonshu who is a baby, like a baby version of wisdom. And Khonshu wears a yarmulke, like a skull cap, if you will. Khonshu has the little baby curls, the Shirley Temple curls at the temples. And Khonshu is swathed in linen, wrapped in linen. So the Jewish man's shirt is a wrapping of linen, which lets the strings hang out at the bottom and lets you know that it's linen. They are copying an ancient African Kemetic deity. Even the teachings of Moshe, Messiah, Moses, a brother, were taken from ancient Kemetic teachings. That's what always bugs me out when I do look at a Sephardic or Hasidic Jewish person. I'm like, you know, you want to talk about mimicking African history? The personification of African history is this pale-faced white Jewish individual who has taken more from us than words could express. Do not let me go in on the involvement of these individuals in the African slave trade. But yet we're supposed to be holy people. Same thing with the Catholic Church. You would not have slavery on the level that you had it if it wasn't for the Pope of Rome, if it wasn't for the papal bulls that told these individuals that they could go anywhere on the world and take the land they wanted to take and subjugate any other people other than themselves in the name of God. It's the Catholic Church that helped push, and then them with the Jews built ships. The Jews are the ones that helped build the ships. And you had mad Jews in Rhode Island building slave ships. Some were transatlantic. Many just went up and down the coast. So when Kanye West says what he says, they want to make that into a lie. There is no way on this planet white people originated Judaism. No way at all. Understand, get it now. It's impossible. And if it wasn't for the white man that came over to bring it back to them, they might still be ignorant. But you see how they want to take it and run with it, as if we had nothing to do with it. And you can go to Israel right now, and in the center of Tel Aviv, I believe, the little area where the original black Judaic individual lived, and they can barely get out because the white Jew has completely usurped the whole area. Not only did they take the property of wonderful brothers and sisters in Palestine with our help as a nation, but they even subjugate the original individuals with whom they received their knowledge from. That's deep. But you want everybody to believe you're this innocent individual. Ridiculous article, and I'm giving it to y'all word by word because y'all to follow me for real. As this article goes on, they say, elements of black supremacy can be found within Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam and the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. None of what the Nation of Islam nor the Hebrew Israelite statements are untrue. They may not be attractive, but they're not a lie. Moving forward, the latter inspired a deadly anti-Semitic attack in 2019 at a kosher market in Jersey City. Read more about this anti-Semitic trope in AJC's Translate Hate, la, 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 la. Moving on, West goes on to say, this ain't a game. I'm going to use you as an example to show you the Jewish people that told you to call me that no one can threaten or influence me. I told you this is war. Now go and get you some business. When fellow rap mogul Sean Diddy Combs contacted Kanye West directly for unveiling a White Lives Matter shirt as part of his fashion line at Paris Fashion Week, West posted a screenshot of their text exchange on Instagram and accused Diddy of being controlled by Jews. Anti-Semitic tropes that claim Jews control the media, banks, and government are part of a longstanding conspiracy of Jewish secret power. These myths of control portray Jews as secret puppet masters ruling over others and manipulating the world's economies and governments. And even apparently Grammy Award-winning rappers. Meta, the company that runs Instagram, removed the post and, as of the posting of this article on October 13th, froze Kanye West's account indefinitely. Again, it's really interesting to me when these particular individuals come out and say that they don't do blah, blah, blah. Everything that I just said, they actually, okay, these are not tropes that Jews control the media, banks, and governments. They do. Okay? That they're the secret puppet masters ruling over others and manipulating the world's economies and governments and even apparently Grammy Award-winning rappers. It's true. And if you do not believe me, then you need to educate yourself and look up and or buy the Protocols of Zion. Now, there is a chapter that holds the Protocols of Zion within it in the book Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. But you can also look up the Protocols of Zion online if you wish. And deep within them, it talks about all their maniacal plans. And this is why the Zionist is quite dangerous in this world today. And the deep part is that not all Zionists are Jews. But you got a lot of Jews that are Zionists. In any event, in the Protocols of Zion, there was this very important part. And this is the part that went through me when I read it. Basically, they stated that they will take over the world and they will rule the world by brute force and make-believe. And this particular, these papers were written in the late 1700s. They said, we're going to take over the media. We're going to rule politics. We're going to do the banking industry. We're going to do entertainment and blah, blah, blah. And they do. It's 2022 and it's alive and popping and they got it. They rocking it. So that which they are constantly accused of, they actually do. And when you do come out and say these things, quote unquote, against them, when you're not really saying it against them, you're really just saying the truth. Those individuals get blackballed. Those individuals get into trouble, blah, 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 dee, 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 dee. So all of this because they didn't like what he said on this particular show and other things that he said lately. I find this very interesting. Very interesting. And the last thing that he said was, quote, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew. Also, you guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone who ever opposes your agenda, end quote. This is not untrue. This is what they do. As I said before, Whoopi Goldberg slipped up and said something about the Holocaust on The View, and they suspended Huppheim for, like, I think 2-3 weeks. They are a very, very huge part of the machine, and those who come out against the machine will get dealt with. I'll put it that way. And that's the heavy part. That's deep. When you think about it, that's intense. You know, and this is a part of that culture vulturism that I'm talking about, you know, when I go in on it every now and again, because they're trying to put the brother in trouble for stating facts about a culture and a faith that were created by African people, and we can't even say that anymore? And we can't talk about the usurpation of Judaism by the Jewish people? Jewish people? Ish? Kind of like? My husband and I were talking about it earlier. He was like, well, what about that show Blackish? I said, yeah, because Tracy Ellis Ross is mixed. The television show was about this mixed girl who had come up in a commune, was in love and married a brother in L.A. and the show was called Black-ish. So when we talk about Jew-ish, it's yet kind of like host but no cigar. So this is heavy to me because, you know, I'm no huge Kanye fan or anything. You know, I used to like his music and everything, and I know he's had some mental issues, and then he wanted to be a preacher, and he's a fashion designer, and he wears crazy outfits and whatever. Like, I don't have the mental space or the capacity in my life to just be wanting to keep up with Kanye or anybody else. I really don't. I got enough to deal with my own household and my own family. But when this came across Instagram and different things and the media was talking about it, and I was just like, oh, and the media only gets in on it because, again, they are ruled by these individuals, so they have to continue to blackball and ostracize him for telling the truth. That's heavy. I just think it's interesting. They go on to say, quote, social media companies know their algorithms promote engagement. This was said by Holly Huffnagel, that's her name, American Jewish Council's U.S. Director for Combating Anti-Semitism. And hate conspiracies and lies foster the most engagement, which is why their hate speech policies are in place. Those guidelines are imperative at a time when anti-Semitism in the United States and around the world continues to rise. More than half of all religious bias crimes in the United States are committed against Jews. Furthermore, AJC's latest State of Anti-Semitism in America report found that nearly a quarter of American Jews had been targeted personally, and nearly half knew someone who had been targeted by anti-Semitism. Quote, hatred and bigotry must not be excused, Huffnagel said. We must keep people accountable, especially those whose words impact millions of people. Using these platforms to share his plans to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people spreads anti-Semitic hate speech immeasurably amplified level. Very special. And I even said this earlier. I said, you know, it might not be that much of a big deal if he didn't have more than 31 million followers, but he's got 31 million followers. So, you know, again, they're like, he knows too many people. He's talking to many people. So for him to say what he's saying, they're all going to believe him. And da-da-da-da-da. Not one word that the man said was not true. And this should be a very clear example of what happens, especially in this country, when you're in the entertainment industry or whatever, you got your money and what have you, and you start speaking the truth. All of a sudden, everybody gets their panties in a bunch and doesn't want to have this conversation. Or they want to just flip it in a whole other direction and just call you anti-Semitic and a black supremacist. I just find that to be interesting. And you realize that when you keep hearing these people deny the truth and continue to just plead and beg for piety and mercy and respect, and it's just been enough on us. Don't you know we went through the Holocaust and you just all of that. Nobody can, but we can't talk about slavery. We're supposed to have gotten over that by now. We can't talk about racial injustice and the things that continue to permeate our communities in this nation. We can't have that conversation. We can't talk. We can't even kneel on the freaking football field to make a statement against police brutality on people of color, but we can't dare say that white people are the original Jew. They know damn well they ain't the original Jew. Like, when is this going to come to an end? Because this is a part of that theory that people believe if you can tell a lie long enough, then people will believe it. They can believe it all they want. It's still going to be a lie. But when does that stop? It's the same thing with ancient Cretan quote-unquote ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, and white people keep trying to say that they were white people. Black people couldn't have never built such a civilization. Meanwhile, every damn person you see on the damn hieroglyphics is black. Different shades of black at that. Jet black, brown black, cocoa black. Really? But they weren't black. Really? And they have a real deep glyph of each people and how they look. And unfortunately for white folk, when they get to that glyph, that individual has on animal skins, and they're all hairy, looking wild and crazy. And everybody else is all civilized, dressed in white gowns and what have you. Black as the night. But we can't have that. So we can't be Kemetic and we can't be Jewish. We can't be our original self from tens of thousands of years ago. Oh, no, no, you don't have that anymore. Really. And you still have hypocritical, disgusting individuals like the minister of antiquities in Kemet, Zahi Hawass, and his lying ass, because he will not say that those people on any of those glyphs and any of those temples and pyramids are black African people. He can't dare say it. The Arabs would probably cut his tongue out if he tried. So you got to just negate all of the contributions and amazing megalithic statues and structures, and you got to just take all that away from our people. And so the reason why I'm giving you these two comparisons, because this whole Kanye West thing is present day right now. The Kemetic thing is also present day, but y'all just don't hear about it because it's North Africa. But it's going on at the same time. Our culture that we established from tens of thousands of years ago continues to be stolen and usurped by non-melanated people. And what we see now in North Africa, especially in Kemet, what we see now is, I mean, it's a melting pot of people. But because of the invasion of the Arabs and the Romans, you've got a lighter-looking people. But the majority of the people are Arab and Muslim because they're the ones that came in after the Romans and kicked the Romans out. So they've then mixed with the native North African individual, some of whom were Sudanese, some of whom were Nubian. But they always want to separate these regions, and it's the same place. North Africa is North Africa. All the way to Israel. And where Israel sits, it is the most northern part of the tectonic plate of North Africa. But nobody wants to call it Africa. We call it Africa. Then they come along later and call all the regions south of Kemet and Morocco and Mauritania, sub-Saharan Africa? Lord knows when you put the word sub in front of anything, it means less than. So sub-Saharan people, and this is why history is so important. This is why logistics, all these things are extremely important, because if you don't know, you'll let them have it. You'd be like, okay, well, I guess it's true. No, it's all a lie. And they've taken everything that we've ever established. Just like the Asians took martial arts. Tiguan was one of the first martial artists in the world that came into Asia. Because martial arts begins in Africa. Yoga begins in Africa. But the Indians take over yoga, then the white people take it over from them. And then the Asians take over martial arts. Then you get into present day, and they want to bust Bruce Lee's ass for telling ancient Chinese secret, which wasn't really ancient Chinese secret. It was ancient African secret. Like, connect dots. And it's so interesting because we don't get our history. So unless you're a nerd and you sit down and you want to read a million damn books and you got time in your life to do that, or you want to look at lectures and whatever, and yeah, I did all that because I wasn't married and I didn't have any kids, so I had the time. But it's incredible what they've stolen from us, and we're not even mad that it's gone. We're not even a little ticked off. And they got half of us saying Kanye's crazy anyway. All right, Boo-Boo's bipolar anyway. He didn't say anything wrong in this statement, though. That's what's got me. So I had to really go into it for myself. Like, my husband and I were like, okay, let's really check this out and see what this is all about. Because we hear all this going back and forth, and they're calling him an anti-Semite. And I'm like, well, that's not possible because the original Judaic individual is brown. Semite means half brown. Meanwhile, these white people who with Shirley Temple curls and outfits on, who want to be Judaic individuals, say that they're original Jewish people. You're not. You're just not. And y'all then become white until way later. I'm thinking somewhere in either the late 18th century or the late 19th century, probably like 1880-something. Prior to that, you do not have white Jews. I have to look it up. I want to make sure because, you know, I'm not trying to go too tangenty. But I do know that it wasn't until, as I said earlier, that white European man came into the Holy Land, received the teachings of Judea, and blah, 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 and took that back to wherever he was, and then called it Ashkenazi Jew. So, okay, that doesn't mean you originated it. So now we have all these people everywhere who have white skin, but, as I said before, exemplify an ancient comedic deity for which Judaism was based upon. And if we dare say we're the original Jew, somebody gets their curls in a bunch. Are you serious? Insane. And I've been to Israel. They're brown. They've gotten whiter over the decades because of the white people who became Jews who ran in there to take people's land. Because there was no such place as Israel. Where Israel sits today is formerly Palestine, which they stole from Arabs, which is why you've got this big-ass war right now between Arabs and Jews. They stole their land. These people had the deed for their land for over 100 years, and they stole it. I do not even believe that the state of Israel is 100 years old yet, unless it happened in 1922. And I can try to go back and get this information for you, but what I'm trying to just make sure you really get is that even when you hear our politicians talk about the state of Israel and all of this other stuff, you stole that land from the Palestinian people, stole it by brute force, went in and just laid claim to it, very similar to what happened here. So again, I say, just because you say a lie enough, it makes it real, it doesn't make it real. You still stole that land, just like America. You can say what you want about the United States of America. It's stolen land. And people were killed and massacred in order for that occupation to be maintained. And so it's the same thing in Palestine. It's the same thing in North Africa. It's the same thing that happened in Australia, New Zealand, all these other places. Because these other people decide, we're going to go in and just take shit. And again, like I said, this was a papal bull. Was a bulletin written by the Pope. You could go anywhere in the world and take the land. Subjugate the people in the name of God. Bull is what gave support for the transatlantic slave trade and slavery in general, the complete usurpation of Turtle Island, a.k.a. America, and subjugating Native American people, turning them into black people, all of this stuff. If you can move people around, shuffle them around like chess pieces, have a way with them, you'll win the game. So, again, and going back to what Kanye was talking about, it's not untrue. Sorry if it makes people uncomfortable. Truth can do that, you know. But better to have an uncomfortable truth than a rancid lie. And I'm smelling a rancid lie. And the stench gets funkier every year. Because these things continue to be propagated as if they are true and they're not. And so if anybody listening to me tonight is a person of quote-unquote color, if anybody listening to me tonight could really get the parallel that I was trying to give in terms of our cultures being stolen away, not even really stolen and shared, stolen away, where we have made significant contribution throughout the millennia in the establishment of that culture. Because both our ancient Kemetic lineage and story and civilization history, as well as our Native American contribution, history, lineage, all of which. And I'll throw in Judaism for the fun of it. Because first it's Kemetic, then it's Judaism, then it's Native American. And they all three have something to do with each other. And in ancient times, even here in America, you had Native American peoples who wore talismans of each place. Why? Because North America, America herself, was also called what? Amexum Empire. The Amenta Empire is in Kemet, in Africa. Amexum is America. And this particular history intertwines these bodies of land, Africa and America, for over 50,000 years, yo. 50,000 years. So again, this is still our story, and it all gets stolen away and lost, like fizzle, fizzle. And we can't allow that to happen. So I hope you get my string of pearls that I gave. I hope you really get it and you felt it, because if we can't be if we can't be ancient Kemetic individuals who we are, if we can't be the ancient Judaic peoples, if we can't be the ancient Native American peoples, who the hell can we be? We can't just be niggas and slaves. I'm sorry. We're not. Have a moment in time where we became enslaved people under these other individuals, and we were subjugated to many a horrible thing. But that little wrinkle in time, that little hiccup, bubble, moment, space, does not make us all niggas and slaves. Not when we have a legacy of over 50,000 years. Kiss my ass. No, it don't. Our inventions and even the word civilization is ours. Being civil is ours. Getting along with people, growing in community and civility, that's ours. That is what we did first. They did not do that well at all. That should be relatively apparent in behavior indicative to what we see in the news in Ukraine and Russia right now, white on white crime, about who barbarians were. Hello? Who was the vandals? We get the word vandalism from a crazy white family in ancient times. Who were the vandals? Tore up everything. We get the word vandalism from their family name. But we can't have that conversation. I'm like, we progenitors of civilization worldwide. Whether we're talking about Machu Picchu in Peru, we could go to Mexico, all over Mexico, Mazatlan, the Temple of the Sun, the Temple of the Moon, all of that. That's a part of the Amexum Empire. We can go all the way back to Kemet, where you have over 22 pyramids that line all the way down the Nile Valley, all the way into Saqqara and all these other places. We got pyramids in Japan, pyramids in China, pyramids right here in America. The biggest pyramid in North America is in Chicago. It's called Monk's Mound. That's right here in the middle of North America in Chicago. We put pyramids all over the planet. You got pyramids in the ocean. Hello? We made them. We built them. And people, oh, the aliens is black too. Having this conversation with y'all right now, people want to talk about the aliens. And when you watch the History Channel, because God forbid, a nigga can't make a pyramid, so it's got to be an alien. Really? Really? We have the people who built the pyramids, whether it was Djoser, whichever king, pharaoh it was. We have the statue. We have the face, the likeness, the life story. Hello? What's inside of the pyramids, whether it's pink quartz, white quartz, all these different types of stone inside to resonate certain sounds in the chambers and do all these other things and bring electricity, hello, to Kemet. Pyramid means mountain of fire because they used to glow at night and give light off at night, like huge night lights. They're aquifers under the pyramids. It's an electric system, and it used to mix with the Ark of the Covenant that sat in the middle of the Great Pyramid. These crazy white archaeologists want to talk about, oh, it was a grave. A grave of who? A two-year-old? It's small. It's not the size of a human. But the Ark of the Covenant sat in there with its properties. And those properties got with the water and the gold point on top of the pyramid and conducted electricity, just like a Tesla coil. If I need to bring you up to date, same process, because electricity is all in the air. If you know how to harness it, bada boom, bada bing, you got electricity. We had that. We were doing that 56,000 years ago. Then we decided, oh, we're going to build the temples for the dead who were the kings and the queens and what have you, and the people of quote-unquote nobility and blah, 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 and we built them on the other side of the valley. The temples are amazing. If you look up the temple of Hedheru at Dendera, the temple of Dendera, amazing piece of work. It is freaking ridiculous. Then you've got Abu Simbel, with Ramesses and his wife, and it's incredible. It's incredible, and the symmetry is perfect. The distance and the space between the nose and the lips and the eyes, it's all perfect. It's all done in Fibonacci spiral at that, which is ancient sacred geometry. Hello? And this is the genius that's inside of all of us, but yet you've got these overlying and overarching powers that just wish to not have that be. So therefore, they remove your connection to your ancient self. They remove your connection to your divinity. They remove your connection to even your own possibilities of your brain, as I was talking about at the top of the show. They take everything away from you until you're just this little ugly ball of clay with no energy and no purpose. Really. When we had everything in Kemet, we figured it all out and then some. Every instrument that we play today existed then. Saxophones, flutes, drums, guitars, basses, everything. Piccolo, everything. All over the temple walls, all over places that have no ceilings now, and it's just wall. And they're all over it. You have the deity of Beth, which represents happiness and joy, playing all these instruments. But yet, we're supposed to be these uncivilized sub-Saharan. What? Lastly, I'm going to say, Kemet is the granddaughter of Nubia. Nubia is to the south. On a physical level, Nubia is to the south. But I want you to understand, the Nile River flows from south to north. And so all of the culture that originated in South Africa made its way into Central Africa, made its way into Somalia, and which was Punt, and these other areas, Nubia and what have you, that then gave it the knowledge to Kemet. Kemet is the last frontier of that. Kemet is not new to that. So it can never be separate from it because it is the granddaughter of it. That's why you have pyramids all through Nubia, all through Ethiopia. They're everywhere. A little smaller, but they're there. The language was the same. The teachings are the same. It's just that Kemet was the golden era of that time. And all that knowledge that was consolidated from the south made its way to the north and blossomed into what we call Kemet, or Egypt, if you will. All of that comes from there. So there is no sub-Saharan anything. There's no sub-anything in the whole continent of Africa. There is no sub. And these are just terms that were derived by white people to continue to assuage their consciousness against the horrible things that were happening in slavery. Because even in their own psychosis, whether they had plausible deniability, whether they had, there's another term I'm looking for. It deals with your consciousness and when you know something is wrong, but yet you put something in the way to make it seem like it's okay. It's a psychological term. It's not coming right now. But in any event, to deal with the fact that you know you're treating these people in a subhuman way in order for you to get free labor and get your work done and expand, quote unquote, the industry and the mercantile industries of America and what have you. There was no excuse for the behavior. There was no excuse for the act of slavery. And that's why slavery is always going to be the world's original sin. It ain't just America's original sin. It didn't originate here. It originated in Europe. They brought it on the road and took it everywhere they wanted to go. Everywhere they wanted to go. That's why last week when I was talking about how the new curriculum in Florida and other southern states when it deals with slavery, and they're talking about only 4% of the slaves taken from Africa came to America. Okay, where did you find the rest of the millions and millions of black people then? Oh, those are Native American people, but we can't say that. But you just told on yourself when you said only 4% of the Africans taken from Africa came to America. The 4% does not equal those hundreds of millions that were here, working day in and day out. No, those were your dark-skinned Native Americans that they were told they're now called black. They're no longer Cherokee, Blackfoot, Blackfeet. They're no longer Shoni. They're no longer any other tribe. They're black now. That's where you got your people from. So I hope you got that in the story, too. Because you had a lot of enslaved black folk here in America. And so if only 4% came from Africa, where'd you get the rest? And that, too, breeding. That, too. Because after a while, don't forget, the British stopped kidnapping Africans, so they said. The Portuguese stopped kidnapping Africans, so they said. So all of a sudden now we're no longer importing. So then we create breeding camps so that we can make more slaves. And you used a lot of those black Native American men. And you then turn them into bucks. And that is the term that is used for a healthy, muscular, even handsome black man, a buck. And he's used to impregnate younger women, younger girls. So, and in closing, and I hope you all got everything I was talking about with Kanye thing and, you know, trying to connect it all and realizing how much our history is stolen, our legacy is truly stolen. And it would behoove you to read the book Stolen Legacy by George M. James. That's an awesome book. But please, know thyself, seek knowledge, obtain it, put it to work so it can become wisdom so we don't make the same mistakes. And lastly, the other day, hubby Lish and I were watching Harriet Tubman, the movie. I know it came out several years ago, but it's not easy for me to watch a lot of those types of movies. But yet, you know, I bit the bullet and made it through, you know, the movie. I did get emotional. It was difficult for me at one point. I was going to abandon ship. But it's because I'm an empath and I feel way more than most other people feel. And it was very disturbing when I'm watching these types of movies where we're subhuman, we get slapped around, we're beaten worse than a dog. There's no remorse or care for our offspring. They can separate you, sell you off, whatever. Like, all things like that are very disturbing for my psyche and just my emotionality in general. It hurts. And I can mentally relate from what I'm seeing and watching. You know, I feel that as an individual, Harriet Tubman was an amazing and remarkable woman. Mercy, mercy, mercy. She was an amazing person. Her courage, her intestinal fortitude, her drive, her passion, all that led her to do what she did. What are you talking about? Yo, I know people that don't want to walk to the corner store by themselves, let alone travel over 100 miles in the dark by themselves. No cell phone, no flashlight, no nothing. Just hoping there's no clouds and you see a North Star and try to follow your the presence of God within you. I know people that don't want to go to the corner by themselves. So the fact that this woman, we're talking about a vagina wandering around in the wilderness at a time when black people are enslaved and white folks are crazier than crazy. And she did it many times, even when she got all the way to Philly. She still had to get back on her own. And she did. And I'll never forget her motto. I used to have her picture behind my my desk when I was a school teacher. And it said, she said, you know, I freed hundreds of slaves, but I would have freed thousands more if only they had known they were slaves. Because so many of the people were in that trance of, this is it. I don't know anything else, and I'm afraid to know anything else, so I'ma just stay here. Take these whoopings, deal with these rapes, deal with my children being sold away. I'll deal with it somehow. And so this little woman of 5 feet, whatever, she was fierce, you know, and love and light to her soul. That she was a badass. Like, I'm sorry. That was woo. And I know the story already. I know the story of Harriet Tubman, but they did a pretty good movie. The movie went pretty well, I think. You know, considering the fact they had to put all of that into a movie, I think they did a pretty good job. You know, but again, our legacy, our tenacity, our resilience is unsurpassed by any human that's ever existed. And so I just want us to know who we are, embrace who we are, love it, give it honor and reverence and respect. All of that work that our ancestors did was not for naught. From temple building, pyramid building, we discovered and invented plumbing. We invented the aqueduct. You know, we invented a whole, we have a whole plumbing system in Kemet, which brought fresh water in and took the bad stuff away, and it worked impeccably. I mean, hydraulics and what have, we have all this stuff. This is us. And so I will not sit down. I will not let other individuals say who we were not when I know who we were and I know who we are. And so I just ask for you to do the same and to seek that knowledge and to obtain it and to hone it, to have it, whether you have to read books, whether you go and travel, whatever you need to do. But understand that when you have knowledge of self, nothing and no one can prosper against you because you know who you are. And so I'm standing with Brother Kanye on this madness. I know Boo Boo got issues, but at the same time, what he said was not untrue. And we do need to stick together. He's not saying anything that's not true, regardless of whether or not they like it or don't. But just realize and don't ever forget the original ancient Kemetic people are black African people, the original Judaic individuals that followed Judaism and that created Judaism, as in Moses, were black people in North Africa. Don't forget, that's where Kemet is. And the original Native American of this nation, from Canada to the bottom of South America, is a black person. And you need to know it. That way nobody can talk smack against you, to you, about a thing. And you walk with that armor and you meet those individuals with that energy. Baby, they ain't gonna mess with you. So I'm leaving y'all with that. I thank everybody for joining me tonight. I saw some new folk on here. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I hope that you enjoyed the show. I hope that you learned some things. I hope that you learned to love yourself a little bit more because you're fantastic. We're really dynamic and amazing, y'all. And regardless of the campaign against us that does exist, it's a bunch of BS, and all of that falls apart in the face of truth. So when you know the truth and you can shoot it right back, ain't nothing to be scared of. And we need that kind of strength. We need to realize that and embrace who we are and try our best to not run away from who we are. Because it doesn't make any sense to run away from who you are when the enemy is dying to become who you are. So be good. Have a Have a great and fantastic week ahead. Watch out for negative energy. Make sure that you are vibrating as high as you can. Okay? Smile at strangers. Help individuals. Help the elderly. Watch out for the babies. Protect the babies. Please protect the babies. And realize that you're way more powerful than you might have believed. And you can embrace your greatness and be as fantastic as you truly desire to be. in love and in light. And you share that with your world. So thank you so much. Enjoy your week ahead, people. Thank you for being with me again, family. Super shout out to my wonderful husband, who's always so supportive of me and helps me and exposes me to things as well. And, embrace love, family. Embrace love. Again, if you're really, really itching and listen to some beautiful music, you can go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL. You'll get some wonderful music and feel real good about it, honey. I'm telling you. Because, again, music is a wonderful energetic frequency that affects your emotional mood and makes you feel good. So it's important to know how to feel good when you need to. We'll delve into more later. But just be fantastic and amazing, y'all. Be love and light. And, strive to be the best that you can possibly be. Okay, remember that you get what you give. And you want to give as much love to the world as possible, all right? Stay amazing, family. Thank you so much. Thank you to Reverend Robinson and Dr. Winborn for allowing me this platform. And, again, stay fantastic. Thank you all for being with me. Peace and love, Dorney. I see you. Peace, Barbara. Peace, everybody. Peace, KK. Love y'all. Peace. One love, fam.